Welcome back to another episode of Your Money, Your Mission, the podcast designed to turn complex financial situations into actionable advice, powered by Johnson Financial Group. I'm your host, Kelly Mold, and today I have two special guests with us. Lauren Fellows, Vice President, Mortgage Production Manager, and Construction Financing Specialist from Johnson Financial Group. And I'm pleased to welcome Zach Knutson, Managing Partner of Next Generation. Next Generation is a builder, general contractor, and real estate developer located in southern Wisconsin. Thank you both for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So we're going to dive into the topic of construction financing and explore different options available for home buyers who are looking to build their dream homes. So let's start first with the difference between building a new home and buying a previously owned home. So let's start with the difference between building a new home and buying a new home.
Sure, that's a great question. So primarily, building a new home is going to involve partnering with a builder, such as somebody like Zach, that will design and create a home according to your exact specifications. You can customize multiple aspects of your home, right? So you have the ability to really dial in the details, make it specifically what you want it to be. And buying an existing home, of course, is going to involve maybe compromising in a few areas. So it's customizing your home from start to finish, or it is purchasing an existing home where you may have to be making some compromises and will want to maybe renovate or do something a little different down the road.
Yeah, and to add on to that, I mean, new homes today are built a little bit more energy efficient than prior homes. More modern finishes, open floor plans. The options available are endless thanks to Pinterest. But another, you know, major part in real estate today is just the lack of inventory of existing homes. So the price point between buying a home existing or building a new one is getting closer and closer. So it's a little bit easier for people now to really kind of put their dreams, you know, into action.
Sure. That's a great point. So when folks are out there looking to build their home, who are those individuals? Are those brand new first time homeowners? Are they people that have, you know, more experience in the housing market? Who's actually willing to make all these decisions and engage in this process?
Yeah, that's a great question. The baby boomer generation is still by far the largest and most active home buyer. And for us, still the most active home building client. Many of them are downsizing from large homes, and they're actually what we call move downs. So they're selling their existing home with considerable equity and then building something new that they can grow old into.
So Zach, when you're designing homes like that, do they take into consideration as they age ways to remain in the home as long as they can? Things that would accommodate any kind of physical issues that might happen?
Yes, so we do zero-step entry in our garages so that the garage floor meets the entry into the home. All of our doors for this type of client are 3 foot wide to accommodate wheelchair walkers in the future, and we also add additional blocking inside the walls so that they could do grab handles and just different ways to try to really help people with that journey of potentially being their last home that they grow into.
I think that's a really great point. Mm-hmm. It's the people that are moving from the home that they previously had. You also see people that are the move-up home buyer, right? So you have clients that are maybe ready to customize that next house. They're ready. They're taking the equity from their first home, second home potentially, and then parlaying that into the down payment new build home. So that's a really great point that it's both sides of that coin. It's typically somebody that's already been a homeowner, but not exclusively.
Yeah, the second largest class is millennial class or generation, and they are the clientele we have are typically second home move up. This is their second home that they've purchased, as Lauren mentioned. So they've known what they've lived in, and they have generally a plan of what they want for their next home. And we actually just met with someone just before this meeting, and it's very specific on what they were at before and where they want to be.
So they're typically trying to improve what they had before. Do you find it's because they want it customized, or is the draw really having a modern, more efficient, energy efficient type home? Is that
it's what's all the key? Above? Sometimes it's just schools too.
Oh, okay.
It's really their children are getting to an age where schools really matter, and even though in the state of Wisconsin, school choice is an option, it's much easier if you live in the district that you want to attend. So. I would say most of the buyers for that generation, it's very specific. They're not necessarily too keen on all the pretty stuff. It's more of just they want to be where they want to be. Location, location, location.
So for an individual looking to build their new home, what housing industry risks should they be thinking about that could impact this process?
So inventory, of course, is a big story. There's the lower rates were previously, the easier it was for people to borrow money to purchase homes. That, of course, impacted inventory. So it makes something like building a home that much more appealing because you're able to then create the house that might not exist. You also want to be considerate of the budget that you have to finance a home. Building a home, there can be cost, you know, things that you run into, cost overruns from time to time that you want to make sure that you have savings for.
Not with us.
Right. So having a budget in plan and kind of sticking to that budget is important. So having a good conversation with a builder that you trust, with a lender that you trust, understanding what your budget is and working within that framework is always important.
Yeah, it's critical. And on a larger picture, inventory is obviously an issue nationwide, but especially in southern Wisconsin. And that's not looking to get any better anytime soon. There's not a lot of home builders. There's certainly not a lot of real estate developers. So with the lack of available lots comes with it the lack of available options. So we're trying our best to bring on new product and bring on new lots for people to give them different options. But as Lauren mentioned, it's critical to come to the table with a vision, a lender that truly underwrites to Johnson Bank's capabilities, all of your assets, and gets you truly pre-approved. That makes a lot for the process to go smoother.
Sure. And affordability has to be a big consideration for folks that are trying to do this. I know that personally, I really kind of always thought that building would be beyond something I could manage from a financial situation. And then, you know, fast forward past a couple of remodel projects, maybe I wasn't quite as clear on this as I should have been. So what kinds of things can a builder do to make this a more affordable option?
Well, the way we work is much different than most of our competitors. We're a design build firm, meaning we take a lot of our commercial roots in our commercial development days. We meet with our clients and we ask them truly what's their budget, truly how big of a home that they need, and then we layer in their wants and their desires and their dreams, and we try to mash that up, and we really have a handshake kind of budget at that meeting. And traditionally we can get there with our clients, and from there we kind of make it a reality and bypass the existing home aspect of things where people are anxious and worried about missing out on an offer and offering over asking price. We try to take all that stress out of the way and make it very streamlined and very specific.
Lauren, I know this involves some options for clients in terms of construction loans. Can you tell us a little bit about what folks need to consider and what processes they might have to go through to select?
You bet. So construction financing is typically a two-phase process. So you have your short-term financing that finances the build of the home. So the build, you'll take out a loan. Typically, clients are making interest-only payments based on what the builder has drawn to date. And then once that build is complete, then backing up a bit, as the builder is making draws, so they'll make a draw to say, all right,
the
first thing is,
much,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So they'll draw to dig the foundation, they'll draw to put up the sticks, they'll draw to, as they make progress, then the loan balance increases. And then once that final draw is made, that's the end of the process, then you're able to take that loan and convert it to its long-term fixed rate financing or the long-term financing that the client is going with. So typically interest-only payments during the construction phase, and then once the construction is complete, then the client, maybe they have a home to sell. At that point, they have done that. They can take the proceeds from the sale of their home. They can put that down on the amount that they had just financed. And their end loan, so that long-term financing of the mortgage, ends up being what they had anticipated it be once they sold the house, and those become fixed-rate payments.
So what's the typical time frame from the time someone starts and is making those payments till they actually have the house to move in? Is there an average?
Yeah, that's a very good question. What we tell people, and we do tell people, Johnson Bank is by far our preferred lender, mainly because it's so streamlined and they know exactly how to underwrite construction loans, as Lauren just said. So from the point that they come into our office and we agree on that budget that we just talked about, it's about 45 days to dual track design and for Lauren's team to get them pre-approved or ready to go even on their construction loan. Once we do that, we're in for permit and building permit, and we're going to start our project. Most of our homes are built in about 4.5 months, which is also a big selling point to a lot of our clients. And frankly, when Johnson Bank is talking about us, is that we're not going to leave them hanging, paying for unnecessary interest expense and draw this out 9-10 months like some horror stories that you hear. We actually typically only draw 3 times. We try to keep that loan balance down as much as possible for the bank's clients.
Yeah, that's an amazing time frame, because typically you'll see 12 months or so is what a traditional construction loan will take. So when Zach's team is able to wrap that up in 5 months, it really puts, 5 months or less, you said 4.5, right? Right. It ends up being the client can then count on, if they're planning to sell a home, they can get that dialed in right away. They can plan for that next move. It makes things that much easier, especially we were talking earlier about location, location, location. If you're trying to move in by a specific date because you're starting in a new school district or you want to be in a new job,
Sure. Having
that dependability of a builder like Zach that's able to say, we're going to get this home done by this time, just creates all sorts of security, takes a lot of anxiety off the table as it relates to, when is this property actually going to be complete?
Yeah, and dependability with a lender as well. I mean, in the end, there's a working trust between both parties that, especially during an inflationary environment when the rates were going up considerably, there was a lot of dialogue back and forth on when we could get the home done so they could lock rate early, which is a huge benefit that Johnson has over its competitors and has been really helpful for our clients so that we can get them on the best foot forward for their financial standing.
And there's different types of construction financing, right? Can you talk a little bit about those options?
Yeah. So there's what's often referred to as a construction to perm loan. So that would be, or a one-time close is what you'll hear people talk about. So that is when, like I talked about earlier, you take out the construction financing, and then that audit, once the property is complete, the builder is done with their work, then we transition that loan into its long-term fixed rate, potentially could be an adjustable rate mortgage financing on the end, subject to what the client's wishes are. There's also, and that's, you don't go through two closings, you don't have two sets of closing costs, you just go through one closing when you close on the construction loan. There's some documentation on the back end when you're ready to convert to that long-term financing, but it's only one closing, so you hear that often referred to as your construction to perm or a one-time close. There's also the process where you have a two-time close, so if you're looking at jumbo construction financing, then you are going to be building probably $1 million larger home, so to speak. And that would be a two-time close. So you have your construction financing where, again, same process. You're making an interest-only payment based on what's been drawn to date. Then when the property is complete, you're refinancing that into its end loan financing as opposed to just converting automatically. We also have what's referred to as turnkey financing. So builders like Zach also will put up what are referred to as spec homes, or he'll just get the property going.
Move-in ready,
okay. And so builders like Zach will put up move-in ready homes, and so then the client can pick some of the finishes on the inside, subjective to how far along the property is. And then the client will purchase the property. So the builder at that stage is taking out the construction loan. They're financing the construction. And then the client can purchase the end result. So they're financing as if they would any other existing home. That's a really, working with Zach's team in that process is really nice as well, because we do have some long-term locked, some specific loan programs that allow you to lock your loan for up to 6 months. And so knowing that you're going to have that property complete within that six-month period is really beneficial. Again, being able to depend on a builder to get the property done in that amount of time really helps the client.
Yeah, we've went as far, especially with the Johnson Bank pre-approval, where we know the paper means something, of doing a true custom home on a turnkey basis. And a lot of these buyers, they're very well qualified. Their debt-to-income ratios don't work to have two homes, construction loan and their existing home. So we underwrite that. We treat it like any other transaction. We take the risk, we take the debt, and then we close that just like any other transaction 5 months later.
So for someone who actually has gone out and bought the lot of their dreams and now they want to put a house on it, how is that different? What do they have to think about building on that?
That's a nice place to start, right? So you also have, we also have the ability to help somebody finance a lot loan. But if you already own the lot, we have a lot of clients that maybe inherited their family, you know, property or something. But if you already own the lot, we can take the equity that you've earned in that lot, and that can be credited towards the down payment requirement that would be on the construction loan. So you get a little bit of a head start there, assuming that your lot has equity, and you can, again, put that down in the next, or you can use that as the down payment towards your construction loan. So you're kind of going into your construction financing with a good chunk of equity. And you won't, in some cases, subjective to what that lot equity looks like, you might not have additional down payment that you need to put down.
And we love working with clients that have their own lots. That typically shows us that they're ready to go. It shows a sign of good faith that they've put enough effort and emphasis in owning their land. And so we love working with them.
They're prepared, right? they've decided what they want to do. And then when the property, or once they've secured that lot and they've got their builder in place, then we will, if they have a lien on that lot, we will roll that into their construction loan. So it becomes one loan.
Sure, makes sense. Well, and speaking of being prepared, I imagine there's a lot of documents or things that folks have to provide to you in order to qualify or get any of this process moving. What kinds of things should people be pulling together?
We're going to ask for your income and asset documentation. So we'll pull credit. We'll pre-approve you, as Zach mentioned, like we do an existing home. We'll ask to verify your income, your assets. If you've already purchased that lot, we typically ask for the documentation on that so we can set a baseline of value. And then once you have your builder in play, we will, Zach and his team will put together a contract. So then we ask for a copy of that contract so we know what our timeline, what our budget looks like. And then we will also ask for typically the specs and the blueprints so that we can give those things to the appraiser and say, okay, appraise this, you know, to be completed home. So it sets a baseline for the builder as well, or for the appraiser as well. So they're looking at the specifications of the home. They're looking at the contract, and then they're also looking at the blueprints to determine the value compared to other homes in the neighborhood.
So what other advice do you have for someone who's contemplating a construction finance for their dream home?
Work with a great builder. Work with somebody you trust. It really starts purchasing a home, building a home. It really starts with the emotion. It starts with understanding what your goal is. Where do you want to live? Location, location, location. What does that area offer you? Are you able to customize some things that you might not have had in your prior home, assuming that you're you've owned your prior home? And then you want to have some patience. It's a lot to think about. You're picking out every last detail, and that can be overwhelming. But if you're working with a builder like Zach, where you're able to lay out what the options are, they have a ton of really great modern inspiration for people to look at. He mentioned Pinterest, but just have patience with the process as well, because there's a lot of decisions to make, but working with somebody that you trust, a lender that you trust, a builder that you trust will really help guide you through the process.
Yeah, to echo that, I think truly going into it, knowing your budget and knowing what you can get with that budget, which actually could be quite significant is pretty important. And then, as Lauren mentioned, just being not just patient, but actually enjoy the process. It'll only be as good or bad as you make it. We try to make it, at least our team, very, very seamless. We have about 75 different options to choose from, but every option is only about 5 to 6 different selections. So to not overwhelm people and to not make their budgets go from X to Y. It's really trying to really honor what their max capabilities are and stay within that. And then if you're looking at other builders, which is totally, you know, acceptable, it's really asking them how tight is the contract, is the price, or are there going to be ways to go above that price? Are there escalator clauses for lumber or siding or things that were unforeseen for the builder that then they just pass on to the consumer? We don't do that. Even during the most inflationary environment, we were taking very large losses because our lumber was going through the roof. But we decided as a group that we just were not going to go that way. And so I think it's important to really understand who you're building with financially and just, you know, kind of from a vision of what you want in the future.
Sure. So it sounds like new construction is something everyone should at least think about as they're looking, especially for their second home, especially when you brought up that oftentimes when you're thinking about the long-term value, newer homes will be so much more energy efficient, and there could be certainly some long-term savings. And me personally, I'm guessing some of my remodel projects could have been put on pause had I at least thought about this, because there are certainly some options.
We've had a lot of clients come to us looking for a remodel that we've converted into a new home. So, and it's not just for the move up buyer, their second purchase. We're actively working on a product series for first time home buyers as well, because that is a whole nother part of America that we didn't even really speak about today that are being shut out because of affordability. So we're working through various options to, to bring that to market as well.
Lauren, as always, thank you. And Zach, thank you so much for being with us today. We so appreciate your insight. And thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to another episode of Your Money, Your Mission. If you have a question you'd like us to explore, please go to the show notes, type your question, and hit submit. And make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any future episodes of Your Money, Your Mission, the podcast designed to turn complex financial situations into actionable advice, powered by Johnson Financial Group.
Products and services offered by Johnson Bank, member FDIC, a Johnson Financial Group company, equal housing lender. Loans are subject to credit and property approval, bank underwriting guidelines, and may not be available in all states. Other loan programs and pricing may be available. Certain conditions, terms, and restrictions may apply based on the loan program selected. The term of the loan may vary based upon program chosen. Property insurance is required. If the collateral is determined to be in an area having special flood hazards, flood insurance will be required.